It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Chicago-based atheist Robert Sherman is now asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hear his case challenging the use of state money to renovate the Bald Knob Cross in southern Illinois. His petition involves a $20,000 Illinois grant given to the Bald Knob Cross of Peace near Alto Pass in 2008. Sherman has argued it's unconstitutional to use taxpayer money for the 111-foot-high cross. 3 months ago, the Chicago-based 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed a lower court finding that Sherman does not have the standing to sue. He says he suspects his chances of the nation's high court taking his case are pretty slim. The Supreme Court last term accepted roughly 80 cases of the same of some 7,500 appeals filed with it. The bidding is starting early for Illinois Republicans interested in running for governor. Just who will run was a main topic of conversation last week at the GOP's National Convention in Tampa. But so far, no Democrats are jumping in to challenge Governor Pat Quinn. From the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, Amanda Vinicky reports.
There's a widespread assumption Quinn's going to try to hold on to his job come 2014. Still, his low approval ratings and battle with public employee unions would make him an easy target for a primary challenger. One name often mentioned is Cook County President Tony Preckwinkle.
But I like sleeping in my own bed, and I'm going to run for re-election. I don't know how I can be plainer.
Attorney General Lisa Madigan's name also frequently comes up. Her response is practice. The only election she's worried about right now, she says, is that of President Barack Obama in the fall. She doesn't stray even when pressed, and pressed again by a gaggle of reporters.
You can ask me that after this election.
Well, let me try it a different way.
Well, I'm still not going to answer your question, Greg, but go ahead.
The governor says there will be time for state politics later. Quinn says now he's worried about policy and about making sure Obama retains the White House. From the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, I'm Amanda Vinicky.
And we'll have more from Amanda Vinicky from Charlotte at 12:40. Stay with us. The holiday weekend rainfall was not enough for the city of Decatur to lift its restrictions on water use. Director of Water Management Keith Alexander says the level of Lake Decatur went up just over 3 inches, going from 55% to 58% full, but he says it needs to be closer to 75%. Since August 9th, the city has banned everything from watering lawns to washing cars, even at commercial car washes, which have resorted to bringing in water from outside the system. Alexander says about 25 residents have violated the ban and had to appear in court, but compliance has been good overall.
The word is getting out. People are certainly taking notice and doing what they can to not only voluntarily conserve water, but to conserve it on a mandatory basis, because until the lake receives sustained water flow from the Sangamon River, we are not able to lift the restrictions.
Alexander says soil in the area is about 15 to 25 inches behind in terms of rainfall, making it hard to predict exactly how much rain it will take for things to return to normal. And he says current weather patterns don't show the necessary rainfall needed. Anyone who violates restrictions can face a fine of up to $250 plus court costs. Residents in Indiana's largest city soon will be allowed to water their lawns for the first time since July 13th. Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard lifted the city's watering ban effective at noon today. The order signed by Ballard on Tuesday asks citizens' water customers to limit watering established lawns and trees to once a week. Minors will be banned from tanning in Springfield salons after the city council there passed an ordinance last night. As Rachel Otwell reports, it's a move that cancer awareness groups are hoping will gain momentum.
Teens aged 14 through 17 are allowed to tan if they have their parents' permission, but not for long. The city council voted 7-3 to change that law and ban tanning in UV beds at salons for anyone under the age of 18. Heather Eagleton is with the American Cancer Society. She says minors are especially at risk of contracting skin cancer from tanning.
These UV tanning beds are ranked right up there in the same category as cigarettes, mustard gas, arsenic. So they are very devastating to young people.
Those who support the ban say they hope Springfield can serve as an example and a similar measure will eventually pass statewide. Ward 1 Alderman Frank Edwards voted against the tanning ban. He says the ultimate decision should be up to parents, not the government. The measure goes into effect beginning next year. I'm Rachel Otwell.
Indiana Attorney General Greg Zeller and Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry say they're taking steps to eliminate sales of synthetic drugs, such as those known as bath salts and spice. The drugs mimic the effects of stimulants and marijuana. Zeller said today his office and other state agencies have issued a statewide notice detailing penalties for violating the state's new synthetic drug law. He's also asking retailers to sign an agreement not to sell synthetic drugs and surrender any inventories they have in return for closing of any pending investigations of them. Curry says Indianapolis police will hand-deliver warning letters to retailers that sell the drugs. Illinois' state education superintendent says he's monitoring the progress of school voucher programs, which provide state funding for parents to use at private schools. But Superintendent Christopher Cook says he's leery of any program that takes children out of the public school setting. Speaking today on WILL's Focus program, Cook said he'd rather concentrate on improving public schools so that everyone is well served by them.
We're supportive of public education. We think public education should be strong and its best, but we do have to address our lowest performers. And some of these systemic issues that some of the callers are talking about, such as funding, in order to right the ship. It's not fair or right that a student, even for a year, would be sitting in an inadequate situation and not getting an equal opportunity for education.
Legislation to create voucher programs in Illinois has so far failed in the General Assembly. Cook says that seems to be because of perceptions that the programs create winners and losers. Meanwhile, he says he's also watching how Indiana's voucher program is doing as it enters its second year. Indiana University says total enrollment at its 8 campuses around the state is nearly unchanged from last year, even with a slight decline at the main campus in Bloomington. School officials say IU has a statewide enrollment of nearly 110,400 students for the fall semester. It topped the 110,000 mark for the first time. IU reports record numbers of students at its regional campuses in Richmond, Kokomo, Gary, and South Bend, but enrollment dropped 1.4% on the Bloomington campus to about 42,000 students, and the IUPUI campus saw a 0.3% drop to about 30,500 students. University President Michael McRobbie says the enrollment figures show IU is providing a high-quality education that students value. The University of Illinois' official enrollment numbers are expected to be released later this month. You can find more news anytime at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.